This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Do you still suck your thumb? Now, that may seem a very strange question to ask in opening up a serious program here today on Viewpoint, but the reality is I'm asking it seriously. Do you still suck your thumb? Well, I'm pretty sure you don't have a problem with using your thumb as a pacifier, but you might be awfully fond of your cell phone. 71% of Americans sleep with or next to their cell phones. It's as if their cell phone is their blankie now. How about you? Well, that's a way to get our attention, isn't it? And today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about this matter of our digital habits and what has happened to us in our lives, and talk about how we can bring this digital era under control in our own minds and hearts and in our lives. You see, we're supposed to be still and know that He is God. But how can we do that? How can we say with any level of integrity of heart that we're being still and even could even hear the voice of the Lord when all we're listening for is the next evidence of a text coming in on our cell phone? Well, our guest today, Arlene Pelicane, has presented us with a wonderful book called Calm, Cool, and Connected, not collected, but connected, 5 Digital Habits for a More Balanced Life. And if there's ever a time we need a more balanced life, it's now. So, Arlene, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Chuck.
Now, what qualifies you to write this book and to focus on this? And I ask that because, as I indicated to you before the program, I was a trial attorney in Southern California for 20 years. And before you bring a so-called expert witness to the stand, you have to qualify them as an expert. And so just a few questions to qualify you as an expert. What is it about your life, about your experience, that qualifies you to write on this subject?
I think there is this question that all of us can ask ourselves: is technology bringing me closer to God and my family, or is technology like distracting me from God and my family? Mm-hmm. And in my life, I have found that technology, when put in its place, when given boundaries, when not bought too soon for kids, all those kinds of things, that life turns a lot easier for a family. So, for instance, I live in Southern California. I have a middle school son. Mm-hmm. I have a sixth grade daughter and a third grade daughter.
Okay, well, that qualifies you right there, doesn't it?
Well, you're very kind. My kids do not have cell phones. They don't have iPads. They don't play video games. So if you were to come visit our house, we had an 84-year-old man at our dinner table yesterday, our pastor's dad from out of town. Mm-hmm. So if you come to our house, we will talk to you. We will not have to say, put away your device, put away your device, put that down, stop playing that game, stop putting it.
Wow.
And the thing is, and I don't say that to say like, wow, look, I'm so great. I say that to tell people this is possible. Sometimes you look around and you think that's not possible. Everybody mm-hmm. is doing this. But I love to give hope to that parent to say, you can raise your kids differently in terms of technology, but it does start with what we model, and that's where this book, Calm, Cool, and Connected, came from.
Well, okay. And we understand that much of the technology has come from a state called California. on the East Coast here, they look at those on the West Coast as fruits, nuts, and flakes. So when we came here from California...
Why am I laughing? I'm from California.
You're from what?
Why am I laughing? I live in California.
Yeah, right. And it was in California that I acquired my first cell phone in 1983. In fact, it's in California where I acquired my first car phone. And I was practicing law, and my phone calls began to be so overwhelming that I couldn't keep up with them. My secretary said, Chuck, I think you just are going to have to get a cell phone and a car phone. And so I did, and my first car phone was a Motorola hardwired into my car, and it cost me $1,800.
Wow.
$1,800, and all it would do is make and receive phone calls. And that was my introduction to the digital world.
Yes.
And then, of course, came faxes. And I knew the moment I heard about faxes, somewhere in the same range of 1983, 84, I knew I was in trouble. Because the moment I would receive a fax, I knew I would become accountable to an instant response.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the mails. Forget the telephone. Now I would be responsible to an instant response. So I resisted it for 2 years until it became so normative in the practice of law, I just had to get a fax machine. And so, you know, I relate to all of this. My first computer in 1983, 84, a used Vector graphic computer that cost me $4,000. And by today's standard, even a flip phone could do more than that computer could do.
Right.
So that's kind of the history of things. And now I see my own grandchildren, of which I have 10. They just cannot, it seems, be severed from their devices. It's as if their devices are one with themselves. They've got an identity crisis.
You talked at the beginning about that digital pacifier, right?
Yeah.
And there are, you know, obviously advances of technology we embrace, you know, that I'm not saying to people, okay, you have to not use your phone anymore, or stop using your computer, stop emailing. You know, these are things that can definitely be used for good, but they are things that when left unchecked kind of take over your life, like you were saying. So now it's not just your business, but now it's in your car, it's following you around, it's in your pocket, it's at your dinner table, it's at your business meeting, it's everywhere.
Well, so it's very similar to money. Money can be used very profitably for us, but it can also use us and take domination over us. But there's something rather unusual about the digital world, and that is it is more pervasive, absolutely unmitigatingly addictive, as the founders of it are now admitting and lamenting.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a very important thing to realize is that when you pick up your phone, that it's not a fair fight, that you're not going to just be able to willpower this out.
Okay.
That, you know, there are very smart people on the other side of that phone who have programmed that phone so that you will constantly check your text, that you will constantly check social media to see, did someone respond? Did I get a like? Is there something new posted? You're going to look at that news feed because, oh, something new might have happened. Maybe I missed something since an hour ago. You know, so that thing is really wired for you to keep coming back to it and for you to, first of all, realize, okay, this is not a fair fight.
Yeah.
There are psychologists. There are all sorts of people that understand human behavior that are trying to get me to check that phone.
All right.
That's a great place to start.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into this big time after the break. Friends, our special guest, Arlene Pelican, with her book, Calm, Cool, and Connected. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You might just want to get a hold of it. We need to be delivered.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment? Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Is the smartphone making us dumber? Interesting question. One worthy, actually, of thinking about. Just yesterday, my wife was telling me about her encounter with a young man in a store. And she went to pay for the product and decided, well, you know, I need the quarter that I was giving you. Let me take the quarter back, and I want to give you 10 cents. That will cover exactly the tax or whatever it was. The young man was utterly stupefied. He didn't know what to do. He stood there because he was so dependent on the computer, the screen in front of him, that he was totally thrown for a loop and did not even know how to think about changing out a quarter for a dime. It was unbelievable. She says, wow, I now see how addicted this younger generation, the millennial generation, is to the screen. Well, friends, it might be easier for us to look at that young man's dilemma as unusual, but unfortunately, it is not. In fact, it's become the norm. And so today on Viewpoint, we're talking with our special guest, Arlene Pelicane, concerning her book, Calm, Cool, and Connected, Five Digital Habits for a More Balanced Life. Now, Arlene, the heart of this is habit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
It is habit, building good, positive habits with your technology so that you can live to the fullest. And, you know, the problem there was not a math problem necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It was a, you know, we're so used to, we used to go to the library, right? You go to the
mm-hmm.
library, and then you have to look up Lincoln, L-I, and you have to look it up in the
okay.
little card box,
uh-huh.
and then you have to pick up the book and look at it. So there was this process to learning. Well, today they'll just say, who is Abraham Lincoln? And Siri will say Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States. You know, so mm-hmm. all this information is right there. And so the idea of relying on your own memory, your own wit, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
become more foreign. And that is something that has to be brought back. And so we need those habits in place
right.
so that we can put our phones not to master us, but for us to master them.
And, you know, I find this, even at 72 years of age, using a calculator, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and I'll have a series of simple things to add, and I can sit down there with a calculator and I can do it. And I think to myself, you know what? I
mm-hmm.
am actually working myself out of the ability to think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll stop using the calculator and actually force myself to
mm-hmm.
go back and add and subtract and use my mind.
Right. Your supercomputer, your brain.
There
yeah.
you go. That's the ultimate supercomputer, isn't it?
Right. It is.
And I think there's so many things in our lives right now that that are actually addicting us away from our ability even to think, even to reason. What say you?
I think that we have to, as a culture, be more mindful of what's filling our minds. But because what we think about is ultimately, as the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts will produce actions. Our thoughts will produce our behavior, our thoughts. It all starts there. And, you know, people are worried, they're fearful. Well, why is that? Well, part of the reason is if you look at social media and at news and you're on digital things, television shows, movies, you're going to be fearful because your mind is filled with very worrisome things. And, you know, whether it's something truly evil, you know, that, okay, something evil, I'm watching something evil, or it's just like junk food, it's just candy. You know, it's not good or bad, but there's nothing really virtuous in it. And we're spending a lot of time with things like that. So I think there is definitely something happening in our minds that we are losing that ability, and we're all about feeling instead of thinking. And that is not a good place to be in.
Well, there's no question about it. And what's really surprised me, in the last 30 days, we have had some of the founders of, what was it, Facebook and Google, and some of these digital companies that
mm-hmm.
are almost ruling the world now. And they've come out and they're lamenting. They're actually coming out in public, writing articles, coming on television and saying, this has got to stop. I'm lamenting what I have done. And then mm-hmm. asking, what have we done?
I always love to tell families, you know, that have their iPad and they have everything for their kids because the kids are asking for these things.
Mm-hmm.
But when they interviewed Steve Jobs, who had touted the iPad and had talked about, you know, every family, every home needs this amazing device.
Mm-hmm.
But when you went into his home, he did not allow his children to use the iPad. And it was because he knew how addictive and how distracting it could be, and he understood that.
Wow.
So Bill Gates did not give his kids cell phones until they were in high school, and I think these are really good markers for us to look at.
If isn't that,
that is
something?
Good enough for Bill Gates and for Steve Jobs, that's probably good enough for me not to give my fifth grader a cell phone. You know, so those are good things to realize, to recognize. Does it mean that your family may do it different than most of the families that surround you? Probably, but that is okay. I think you'll be really a lot happier with the results when you push back as much as you can. I'm not saying not to have these things, but to be purposeful. We talked about habits earlier, and one of the five habits is I will go online with purpose. So when you pick up your phone, when you get on your computer, you know, I'm going to answer my emails and then you're done. Instead of what happens to most of us, me included, I am going to check my emails. And oh, look, that's an interesting video. And oh, I can't believe that happened in the news. And wow, I really need to buy this. So, oh, look, this is on sale also. And all of a sudden, 2 hours later, I'm like, oh, that really took me a long time to check my email.
Well, yeah, all the interest, all the eye candy, all of that is designed to keep us tracking for hours upon hours upon hours through the internet. And of course, you run the risk when you do that of corrupting your own device. But
so even if you want to put a little post-it note on your computer and have a question, what am I here to do? When you get there, you ask yourself, what am I here to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to, you know, buy this. Okay, well, buy it and then leave. You know, I'm here to work on this paper. Okay, work. So just that sense of whatever's going to help you have purpose. I met a college student and I was so shocked. This college student carried a phone and a little leather notebook about the same size as a phone together in his hand. And I asked him, what's that notebook for? And he said, I write down what I need to do on my phone before I open my phone to use it. That way I don't get so distracted. And I thought,
wow,
what a clever idea to be proactive, to say, I'm not going to let this thing master me, but yeah, I'm going to use it. But that was a system that worked for him.
Amazing. As a parent, you have three kids, and they're all in ages that most families are just completely inundated with devices of every sort. How are you handling this with your kids when they live in a world that is demanding these things? Natural draw is to be like everybody else. So how are you handling that?
This is a wonderful story of God's, just how God can take care of a family. We fill our lives with other things. And so my children don't have this lack of, they don't ask me like, Mom, why don't we have this? Why don't we have this? They understand like what, it's kind of like we've built this new normal for them and it's what they know and they enjoy it.
Okay.
So they play the piano, we do martial arts, we take bike rides, we have a dog, we play with our dog, we do things that are not screen related. Now we sit down and we watch movies together, we'll get DVDs together, we do all that kind of stuff and we thoroughly enjoy that. But our life doesn't revolve around everyone looking at a screen. Now I will say, you know, we do have screens, so my kids are doing their homework on computers, and so I'll need to say, how many more minutes do you need for your homework? You know, okay, 15, okay, let's set the timer, and then let's get that homework done so you don't get too distracted. So we have all that.
Yeah,
so
well, even the educational homework system now is propelling all of our kids into screen dependency.
Yeah, so that is a part of life,
but
there are obviously no screens at the dinner table. There is plenty of activity that is screen-free. And so that's something you build in. And you talk about things. You talk about how we want them to be free of addiction. And you use teaching things. You know, we've had it where we've had kids come over, new kids that we wanted to introduce, like maybe my parents were friends with their parents' friends, et cetera. And we've had kids just sit on the couch with the iPad and not be able to interact or play at all. You know? And then later we'll ask the kids, now, would that bit have been more fun if they would have played tag with you, if they would have built this with you, but they just sat on the couch, didn't they? And we'll talk about it. And they can see, I don't want that. You know, I don't want to grow up and just sit on a couch and look at a screen. Like, I want more for myself.
A bunch of couch potatoes sitting around pretending that they're having a relationship together.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's
and we used to sit around the couch and at least we were watching the same thing together. You know, like four people together.
Right.
But now the four people on the couch are all doing four separate things, and that's another way that technology really divides people.
Does technology divide us away from the Lord Himself?
It certainly has. It can. Because it's the idea of that idolatry that we want to be like the other nations. And when we have the technology, when we watch the same television programs, when we watch the same, you know, things on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, and we're watching these things, it's like we want to be like the culture around us. And I think that's the biggest thing, because the things that phone is delivering to you, they're typically very much the system of the world and not necessarily the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Now, you can certainly read your Bible. You can be, you know, you can look at Bible study tools. There's all sorts of things you can do with technology. But if you take the average adult and just say, hey, what are you doing? You know, hardly anyone's going to say, like, I'm working on memorizing my scripture verses. Like, people just don't use it that way.
And you know what's interesting? What's interesting is that polls have been taken recently as to whether people would prefer to read their Bible online or digitally or in print. And still by far the majority is in print. Why is that?
There is something about being able to look at something, write on it, highlight it, feel it, touch it. You know, they've done, one of the studies I read that was interesting was comparing just our comprehension of print versus reading something like on a Kindle or an electronic book.
Right.
And one of the main things was, could you see the page in its entirety? So when you saw the page in its entirety, it helped you frame the story. You kind of remember, oh, that was at the top of the page, that line I really liked. Whereas when they're just fragments that you're just scrolling through, their comprehension was not as great. Of course, with the online, you get distracted more easily. So you might be there reading, and then you might get a notification, something might beep, and you're all of a sudden you're distracted. Whereas in a book, that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
So I think for those kinds of reasons, print still is wonderful for that comprehension. And then like one of my friends had said, you know, if you're in print, you're much more in that mindset of that deeper thinking of, let me really think about this. Where on your phone, you're just skimming. You know, you're not going to have this deep connection of, you're not going to get all these commentaries out and connect something and get this aha moment just holding your tiny cell phone. So she really talked about the importance of Bible study, you know, on paper, that it's more serious that way.
I have written 9 books, and they're not small. Not one of them have I done on the computer. I've handwritten all of them.
Wow.
Handwritten, all of them. And there's a reason. Because there's an intimacy that comes. There's a thought intimacy that comes when you handwrite. And you're looking at that right there in front of you that I don't get when I do things on the computer.
Yes. Well, you certainly, if you lived in a generation that you wrote love letters to your sweetheart, those are probably a lot deeper than little, you know, no one's really saving their texts to back and forth.
Well, that's a very interesting thing you should say that. I was thinking, as you were talking earlier, just recently I received a text, says, love you, love you. And I thought love was a relationship, not words. Texts don't communicate love without relationship, do they?
I think they're okay to supplement. So I don't want someone to feel bad, like, oh my goodness, I just texted my spouse that I love them. Now I feel terrible.
No. So, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the essence is relationship, not words are cheap. The time of relationship is what counts.
They have to supplement what's really happening.
Exactly. All right. The book, friends, Calm, Cool, and Connected. 5 Digital Habits for a More Balanced Life. $13 is going to put it in your hands. Just give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. I think it's going to be very helpful, very encouraging for all of us, not just helping the kids out, but ourselves as well. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
It's a delight to have you join us here on Viewpoint, as always. And today, we're talking about this matter of the digital world, screen addiction, the habits of our heart that are leading us into a kind of dependency that more and more we're finding psychologists are telling us, psychiatrists are telling us, sociologists are telling us, and even the founders of the digital networks themselves are telling us it's very dangerous. So how do we gain control of these things, these tools, to use for the glory of God in such a way that they don't become dangerous to us and undermine our relationships, both with one another and with the Lord himself? That's what we're talking about. Our special guest, Arlene Pellicane. And Arlene, I liked what you had in your book concerning Solomon. Solomon, the wisest fella, supposedly, who ever lived. And you reframed some of his words from the scriptures and put it in the realm of the digital world. And I'd like to share this with our listeners. There's a time for everything technological and a season for every activity under your roof, a time to take photos and a time to refrain from taking photos, a time to text and a time for long conversation, a time to install apps and a time to uninstall apps, a time to limit and a time to use, a time to watch funny cat videos and a time to read thoughtfully in a corner, a time to delay gratification and a time for lavish gifts, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time for Facebook and a time to shut Facebook down, a time for Skype and a time for getting on an airplane, a time for digital advances and a time for silent retreat. There is a time for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Did you write that?
I did write that, and I like hearing your voice reading it. That's beautiful.
Oh, wow. Well, I just highlighted that. I thought it was so, so good because it helps to capture the sense,
yes,
the heart, the spirit of what, yeah, you're trying to communicate here.
That's right. It's like, God, give us the discernment so that we know, when do I use this and when do I need to put this away,
mm-hmm,
get on my knees, talk to you, put this away, go talk to someone in real life, you know, because we're not as good now at the one-on-one communication because we are getting more used to just firing away a text. And a lot of it, too, is just how are we with the closest people in our life. So if you've got a spouse, a child, a parent that's complaining, why are you on your phone so much? Or like, I can't ever really get a hold of you because you're always, your head's always buried into something. You know, if you're hearing those kinds of things, then you know, wow, this is probably the time to put it away. that time has come.
Yeah.
And we talked earlier about the digital pacifier, just needing that phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when my daughter was 2 years old, she loved to suck that thumb. And so much so that the skin was peeling away from it. Sometimes she would bleed because she just tore into it. So my husband, who's very creative, he bought these bigger pajamas for her, sewed up the hands so that when the pajama went on, they were like little mittens, and she couldn't get to her thumb, you know?
Oh.
So she put the whole thing in her mouth the first night and cried and cried and just realized, I can't get to my thumb, and she just fell asleep. And after a while, she, you know, after a day or two, she didn't cry anymore at all, and she just went to sleep. And then after a while, we could take the pajama off, and she did not suck on that. And sometimes we need some intervention from another person to come help us with our digital dependence. So be open to that. If you feel like, I can't really change these habits on my own, I need some help.
So are you suggesting, like your little child, that we might end up crying and being utterly miserable because we can't suck our technological thumb for the day?
That's a wonderful point, that when you start this new habit, you might not all of a sudden say, oh, wow, Sunday is Wi-Fi free day. I love this. You know, you might say, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do all day? This is awful. But I promise you, if you do it long enough, after a while, you will find that, hey, we like this. It might take several weeks. Mm-hmm. It might take a few months. But you will say, well, I really like this, not being dependent on my phone. I might leave my phone at home on purpose while I run a quick errand to the grocery store and come back. You know, things like that.
You mean that is a fair thing to do, to leave your cell phone at home purposely?
Yeah, I said a quick trip to the grocery store, so I think I probably do.
Okay. Now, the other thing, of course, is that when you own these cell phones, then the other people around you become dependent upon them, that they can contact you at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have your phone, then you become an offense.
Well, you can also communicate to the important people in your life. You know, I am not going to have my phone 24/7. If I do not get back to you right away, please do not think I am angry at you or that I think what you said was stupid or anything like that. It just means an hour later, so I'm going to get back to you. You know, because it is true. People are so used to, oh, why aren't they responding? It's been 2 minutes. And so letting people know, you know what, I'm going to kind of untether myself and I'll get back to you, you know, to you within an hour. It's going to be just fine. And that understanding, I think, can help the expectations to be better.
All right. So you've created an acrostic here with the word habit. The first letter is H. Hold down the off button. Might need to do that other than just when you're on an airplane.
That's right.
In other words, put your phone on airplane mode in other times during the day.
Yes.
A stands for always put people first. And you were just talking about that, and a thought came to my mind. What I'm discovering is that people are using texts instead of telephone calls. And that's particularly true within the millennial generation. In fact, by admission of one of the experts defining the millennial generation. Here's what concerns me about that. It's totally selfish. Totally selfish. When you refuse to answer your phone and will do only text messages, what you're saying is, don't bother me. It's my time. I'll talk to you when I want to, and I'm certainly not going to spend the time necessary for relationship. I'll text you. Give me your thoughts.
Well, it's very convicting because it is this idea, if someone calls you and obviously you're in the middle of something, then that is what voicemail is for, and that's fine, and then you can call back. But when there's never that call back, you know, because you're just going to text instead, and that is this idea of I will prefer the other person instead of just doing what I want on my time, that I will esteem this person as higher and say, okay, my mother wants me to call her back or my, you know, whoever it is. And I think that's a good word to think that for us not to be so selfie-oriented, it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about my convenience, and to think, well, I'll spend hours, people spend hours watching TV, you can call someone back for 2 minutes. That's not a big deal. And for us to put that in our mind that we will serve other people, and if a person needs a call, we will call them back, maybe not because we feel like it, but because it's the right and courteous thing to do.
And because we value relationships.
Yeah, we care about people.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't the Bible say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Doesn't Jesus say, the first great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself? But we live in a me, iPhone generation. It's all about me and what I want. I think it's very dangerous, and it's happening all over the Christian world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Okay. You talk about a survey of 6,000 children. 54% of the kids felt their parents checked their phones too often. Now we're talking about the parents. The parents checked their phones too often. 36%.
Yeah, many times we complain about the kids.
Yeah.
But in truth, it is the adults that we have a lot of problems. And you just have to look at a playground, at a game, at a sport activity, whatever, and you'll see, and most of the parents have their heads down, you know, in their phones,
mm-hmm.
because we do start because we want to be productive,
yeah.
and we don't want to waste time. But in so doing, we are also missing a lot of moments that we should be paying attention to.
Oh, yeah. 36% of kids said their parents' worst habit was getting distracted by their phones in the midst of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Talk about not showing any interest in your kids.
Right.
32% of kids said this behavior made them feel unimportant. I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. But the reverse is also true. When the kids sit there like a bump on a log with their
sure.
cell phone in front of them, totally ignoring you, totally ignoring everyone else in the room, I mean, how much more disrespectful can you get?
And I think that's also a training issue for parents,
mm-hmm.
For parents to look at a child and to say, okay, I will give you this phone. I believe you're ready for this phone, but you've got to practice common courtesy with this phone. And if we don't see that you're really doing that, then we reserve the right to take the phone away. So
mm-hmm.
if you haven't given that phone, just keep that in your mind and make that part of your contract with your child. To say that we want this phone to help you keep in touch with people, not for you to become, like a recluse.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah. Okay, so the issue here is not to totally debunk technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's to get control of technology so that it can be used appropriately and not addictively.
Yeah, it's that whole... I will have purpose in this. What is the purpose? You and I are using technology right now to talk to one another.
We sure are.
But after we're done, am I going to just look at my phone and check all my apps and do it? No, I'm going to go on to something totally different in my day. It's just kind of
mm-hmm.
having that purpose of what are we using this for and being very mindful of the gaps. And by the gaps, I mean all those moments in our life where we're just kind of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just instinctively pick up our phone and start scrolling through things. Instead of, well, maybe having a conversation or maybe silently praying or maybe mm-hmm. jot down a letter to an old friend. You know, so we have filled in all those gaps with technology where, you know, I used to see kids and their parents. I go to elementary school. They walk and they chit-chat with each other. But, you know, now it's very common to see the kid and the parent with their head in their phone as they're walking down the sidewalk towards the schoolyard.
Unbelievable.
You know, so just reclaim those moments.
Mm.
For talking about the Lord, for praying with your children. Reclaim
yeah.
those moments and don't let technology take your spare gap moment.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to be back with Arlene in just a few moments. Her book, Calm, Cool, and Connected. It's on our website, saveus.org. It's available to you. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. $13 will put it in your hands.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Is your spouse more interesting than your phone? Or is your phone... or your laptop more interesting than your spouse? I'm just leaving a little pregnant silence in there for us to consider that, friends. Again, our special guest on Viewpoint, Arlene Pelicane, with her book Calm, Cool, and Connected, Five Digital Habits for a More Balanced Life. Arlene, you don't want to have silence on the radio, but it makes people feel uncomfortable when there's silence. And we allow just a little pregnant silence in there to allow the message to set in, perhaps, to make us feel just a little bit uncomfortable. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people just continue to keep their devices on, constantly tethered to them, because they can't stand not having them tethered to them, not being on them. It just feels like uncomfortable. They can't stand silence anymore.
And that is a good, you know, kind of barometer, you know, if you want to check yourself. Am I really addicted to this phone like some people are? You know, it's the other guy. It's not me.
You know,
think of, you know, do you need it by your sleep? A lot of emergency workers need it when they sleep. So that's totally legitimate. But if you don't need it, of course, and, you know, you can still have it away from you. But that if there was an emergency in the night, you would hear it. But, you know, do you need to have it right there with you? Do you need to have it at mealtime? Do you check it at red light? Guilty, I've done that before. You know, so have you? These are these things you can think about. Can I go without Wi-Fi for a day and do activities with my family instead? Could I go TV-free for 3 days in a row and be just fine? You know, so just kinds of questions just to make sure, you know, am I okay with this? And I think that's a good barometer. Can I be silent? Can I sit with someone? And if we have silence, for us just to sit there until we get that next thought. Now, you know, many of the big ideas, they come in silence.
You're
silent and the Lord speaks to you, or thoughts come together in your mind.
Right.
And you get that next great idea, the next great invention. You know, it comes to you while you're being typically quiet, not when you're listening to music and scrolling through social media.
Well, there hasn't been one idea, one inspiration for any of the books that I've written that I've gotten online or when I was tethered to some device or watching television.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah,
no.
It's true.
It all comes in the silence before the Lord. And that's why he says, be still and know that I'm God. And I think the thing that terrifies me the most when I look at, you know, the kids and millennial generation and so on growing up, even parents now, when I look at it and I see the unfathomable addiction to screen time, there is no place for God. You couldn't hear the voice of the Lord if you wanted to, because you're too tethered to what's going on immediately in front of you.
And I love to say, you know, God first and Google second. When we have a problem, you know, we tend to Google, okay, what should I do with this? You know, I have got a sickness, what do I do? I have a money problem, what do I do? I'm having marriage problems, what do I do? And we Google for the answer, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are many good resources to do that. That's fine. But the problem is we do that and that alone, or that first, instead of coming to God first and saying, God, I need help. Will you give me wisdom? Will you intervene? And so it is this dependence on technology tells us our destinations, where to drive. It tells us the best restaurant. It tells us if a movie's good or not. It tells us how to vacation. It tells us what to see. So we're not really depending on God. We're depending a lot on technology to get us through. And that's where I think that switch needs to happen.
All right. I want us to go back to our marriages. How is this affecting marriage?
Yeah, that's a big deal. Because now I think, you know, I've been married almost 20 years, and when we were first married, we didn't have these kinds of distractions, you know? And in fact, my husband was so kind of out there that he said, for the first 3 months of our marriage, let's not have a television. And I was
What? I give that guy kudos, big time.
I was like, what? You know? And I was working as a television producer at the time for the 700 Club, and it was like, but I work in television. And he's like, exactly. So you have plenty of television during the day. So when you come home, I want us to do things together, spend time together. I don't want to just be staring at the TV together. That was his thought. So we did this for the first 3 months of our marriage and found like, oh, this is really great. And when we went to other people's houses and we saw like, wow, it's so distracting. Their TV is on all the time and it's so obnoxious, like blaring out all the time. And we realized, wow, we've actually hit upon something that we as a couple really like, having our time together without 1099, you know, all this like background noise always around us. So for us as a couple, that has been very strengthening. Well, of course, now there's a computer, and so we still have to make decisions like, okay, after dinner, let's power down and let's not have our computers on and spend time together. And sometimes we get that right. Sometimes we get that wrong, you know, but it is something we are striving for. So it is something that, you know, we do laugh. Is your spouse more interesting than your phone? Well, by the way you treat your phone and the way you treat your spouse, it seems like your phone's a lot more interesting.
All right. Well, how about the iPad? How about the cell phone in the bedroom?
Yes. I say get those things out of the bedroom. So, you know, the last thing you see at night, you don't want it to be your phone or your iPad or the TV. You want it to be more peaceful. And if you are married, you want to hug and touch your spouse. You don't want to hug and touch your phone. You want that. You want your spouse to be, you know, that last thing you see, not your phone. Good night, honey. I love you. Not let me see what's on my schedule tomorrow, you know, so you can sleep and be all stressed out about your next day. So don't do that. Put your phone down. If you're an emergency worker, put it down. Just, you know, it's there, but don't hold it and cradle it. And let your spouse be the last thing you see. They had a survey where people touch their phone like 50, 46, or 50 times a day. Imagine if you touched your spouse half that many times, 25 times a day. Your spouse would think like, what is wrong with you? Why do you keep touching me? But the idea that we would reach out to our spouse, even in a small way compared to the way that we reach out to our devices. And that would really be a positive thing for many marriages, including mine.
Well, time, quality time, and quantity time are the essence of all relationship, aren't they?
They certainly are. So you have those big moments, those vacations, those big quality moments, but you need the quantity. You can't just be on your device all day and think, oh, we'll have dinner on Friday night, and that'll fix it all. You need to be spending daily time together as a couple.
And that's why you say go on a hike.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, the T in habit is take a hike. And it's the idea of getting outside. You know, it used to be the punishment would be go to your room. And now the punishment is go outside. Like, I can't go outside. I can't get Wi-Fi out there. You know? So as an adult, you know, if you have a desk job and you're able to get outside for a few minutes, go ahead and do that during your day, because nature is highly restorative. What God has created is beautiful and it's calming. You know, so they did a study where people were taking a test, and same test, and in the middle of the test, some of them were told to go to a park for the break, and others were told to go to a very busy downtown street for the break. And those who went to the park and were in that more calming atmosphere, they scored better on the test. And it's just the idea that the heavens declare the glory of God, and so get outside and do that. There was one statistic where in the UK that the prisoners were getting more outdoor time than the children, because the prisoners were required 1 hour a day of outdoor time, whereas the average kid in the UK does not get that at all. And so just we have to remind ourselves, since we're so technologically driven, go outside, get outside, go for a hike, go for a walk, go for a bike ride, sit outside, read a book, do something, but get yourself outside and you will feel physically and mentally better.
I am so glad and thankful that I did not grow up as a child in the digital age. I think there's so much freedom. There's so
you probably
much...
had a lot more fun.
I think so.
I think so.
And it's not that I don't value technology. I'm using it right now. I do have a computer. In fact, I have one, two, three of them, I guess. My wife has an iPad, and cell phones are to be used, not abused. We're to use them, not let them use us. And somehow, we have to realize that these things can be used for us either to do the work of the kingdom or to allow the arch enemy of the kingdom to take over our lives. And I feel that's what's happening.
And it's very subtle, you know, so it begins with small things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, sometimes it sounds like, oh, so radical. Why would you be so in a panic about the phone? The phone is everywhere. Everybody uses these.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just being careful. And if it means being overly careful, that's better than the opposite. Than thinking, oh, this thing isn't going to hurt me. And then you realize, oh, man, I can't live without this thing.
Yeah. How many people have died recently from taking selfies?
No, oh, that's funny. I can't remember, but I remember that it was more people that than died from sharks, being in the water with sharks.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing in the me generation. And I think there's no mistake when they chose the word iPhone to describe the iPhone. The iPad, the I this, the I that. It's absolutely perfect for the me generation.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is, while it pretends to be a social network device, it's actually just the opposite in most instances.
It's like the oxymoron, like there's jumbo shrimp. It's social media, because much of social media is very isolating. You do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily do it in a group. It can certainly connect.
Right.
You know, I have some friends from high school from the 80s that I can send a message to. I can look at pictures of their kids. And that's pretty amazing. That's kind of cool.
Absolutely, it is.
So there are definitely social aspects to it. But for the most part, you're sitting alone doing your social media instead of actually going out with someone and spending time with them in real life.
All right. Now, these devices and technology are used to pump pornography and all kinds of wickedness into our lives. How do we avoid that?
Yeah. And that is huge. That's the habit that I call the be in habit, is brush daily, live with a clean conscience.
Uh-huh.
And it's the idea that at the end of the day, you would have a time, maybe it's when you brush your teeth, and it would remind you, Lord, I want to brush my conscience. Have I watched anything that I wasn't supposed to watch? Have I posted something that was really something I would have never said to a person, but since I'm anonymous, you know, I posted it. You know, are there things that I should not be watching that are compromising godliness in my life, that they were not virtuous? And that is an important question to ask. And it might be you shop too much. It might be you're in debt because you are addicted to shopping. It may be pornography, whatever it is, that those are things that you do need to say, Lord, forgive me, and then reach out for help if it's too difficult to fight that on your own.
And the problem is that this issue of pornography is not just for men. The latest,
for women, too.
The latest issue of World Magazine has a feature article about how Christian women are captured by pornography, just totally addicted to it.
Yeah. And the problem is we're not finding those needs being met in real life. And so we are turning to the computer. And when you have that at the computer, then it makes it so much more difficult to have it in real life because this is not how real life works.
Arlene, I really appreciate, we all really appreciate what you're doing here and trying to help us to escape the tyranny of technology. And the book Calm, Cool, and Connected, Five Digital Habits for a More Balanced Life. That's what we want, isn't it, friends? $13 will put this wonderful book in your hands. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. It's on our website, saveus.org. And may I urge you to become a partner with us. Day after day, we're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. I hope you'll come on with us. Join with us. Become a partner. Go to our website. Make a generous gift that way. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. And let's be called, cool, and properly
connected.
You've
been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.